Well, as you might guess, the title of my sermon is When You Believe in Things That You Don't Understand and You Suffer What?
Superstition.
Y'all is weak on that. Let's try it again. When you believe in things that you don't understand and you suffer.
Superstition ain't the way.
All right. Now, this song was written and recorded in 1972 by Stevie Wonder on the Talking Book album. Those of you that are music lovers know this, okay? Stevie Wonder was born in the same city that Dan was born in,
right.
Saginaw, Michigan. A little history for you all, okay? He was born in Saginaw as well. This song says, very superstitious, writing on the wall, very superstition, ladders about to fall. 13 months of, oh, baby, broke the looking glass, 7 years of bad luck, the good things in your past. When you believe in things that you don't understand, that you suffer. Y'all got to get excited now. Y'all quiet this morning. Okay. So our two key scripture verses this morning, if you're taking notes, if not, you can see this tomorrow sometime. One is Proverbs 14:12. And then the other one is Jeremiah 17:9. Proverbs 14:12 and Jeremiah 17:9. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You hear me?
Yeah.
All right, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we believe in things that we don't understand and we suffer, superstition is the way. Superstition can be defined as belief or practices unsupported by scientific evidence, often rooted in irrationality, supernatural influence, and a desire for control over uncertain situations. It involves rituals, omens, and concept of good and evil, and bad luck that vary from culture to culture. It lacks scientific validation. Belief that unrelated factors can affect the outcomes of events, even when there is no logical connection. That's a definition of what superstition is. Now, my wife said don't read all the aspects of superstition, but I'm going to read them. I'll read a couple. One is irrationality. Superstitions are typically seen to not being based on reason, scientific knowledge, or logical connection. Supernatural influence, they often involve the belief that the unseen or supernatural forces can affect earthly events and human experience. This is a big one in our culture. We believe everything from astrology to whatever. Good and bad luck, concepts of good and bad luck. My luck was bad. I was gambling this week and I just had bad luck. I lost a lot of money. Rituals and practices. Superstition often manifests in specific rituals. Now, this is a big one. We let our children watch Harry Potter, full of rituals. Full of spells, full of all that charms. I've watched all of them, so I'm not hating on Harry Potter. Be clear on that, but it is a superstition. Lack of scientific evidence, we don't have cultural variations, and basically the desire to control our own future. We go to mediums, we seek out horoscopes. We want to know what's happening next. I am, what am I, born in September, so that makes me a what?
A Libra?
No, no. I'll let you think about that for a minute. Anybody else born in November here? What are you? There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Somebody knew. See, because you used to look at them horoscopes. And I used to look at them every day, see what my future was going to be today. And so that's some key aspects of that. Some examples in our world. One is the horseshoe. You ever been in somebody's house and the horseshoe traditionally is positioned open end of a horseshoe is blessings come up. When it's down, blessings come down to us. It's thought to allow luck to pour out when the horseshoe is this way. Okay? Walking under a ladder, this is a big one. In ancient Egypt, the triangular space beneath ladders was considered sacred. And during the Middle Ages, Christians associated the triangle with the ladder for the Holy Spirit. And when you walked under that ladder, it was considered an insult to God. Christians practiced this superstition back in the day, okay? Okay, wearing a lucky clothing for our favorite sports team. Oh, wait a minute. Our favorite T-shirt, lucky pair of socks. You feeling me? These socks ain't been washed all season. You wear them every week because you know that's going to bring luck to our team, right? A broken mirror. The notion that breaking a mirror results in 7 years of bad luck originated from Roman belief that mirrors are a reflection of the soul and believed that human body renewed itself every 7 years. So if you broke a mirror, you'd have bad luck for at least 7 years. This is way back, way back. You break the mirror, oh my God, it's terrible. Stepping on a crack and you break your mother's... Oh, y'all know that one, huh? Okay, this superstition was roots in European and African American folklore. It persists that cracks may serve as a portal to supernatural forces. I know you didn't know that when you were singing that. Yeah, that's where it came from. Okay, and at times associated also with the, including predictions about future relationships. It was a racist concept at one time. If you stepped on a crack, you might marry a black man. So, just that's what the research says. Don't hate on me. That's what it says, okay? And then a rabbit's foot, a lucky charm. Some of us have rabbit's foot attached to our keychains or hanging up somewhere. And this is an African American folklore. For magic, specifically hoodoo down in Louisiana, is where this came from. the voodoo, hoodoo, that kind of thing. And the hind legs are the luckiest part of the rabbit's foot. So if you want to get real lucky, you got to cut the hind legs off and put that on a chain and wear it. Because it produces the best luck. All right? You with me so far? Just trying to lay a foundation before we get started. We will get started in just a second, okay? Two prevalent superstitions in our society continue to persist and present obstacles for individuals seeking to form a relationship with Christ. This discussion will examine these beliefs and consider the lasting implications for our friends, our families, and the broader community. Okay? The impact of superstition for its number one on faith in God. Superstition number one, there are no absolutes. Since one of the topic areas that we're supposed to cover as absolutes. George read that this morning. We're going to talk about that first. All right? There are no absolutes. Do whatever feels good without considering consequences or impact your actions have on others or yourself. This is called relativism. This superstition promotes moral relativism worldwide, where individuals do what feels good without regard for consequences and moral absolutes. It reflects self-centeredness and deception of the heart, as warned in scriptures such as Proverbs 14:12, I read in Jeremiah 17:9. Now, this one is a big one in our society. You can guide people's behavior and beliefs in our society to support any type of behavior you want. There is no right and there is no wrong. It's whatever feels good to us. Do your thing. This is an old song. Right? Y'all know this song, right? Do your thing. See, y'all need another one. See? A lot of cultural references this morning, so you guys can feel me. Do what you want to do, even though doing what you want to do is influenced by the devil. It says, sleep around. People hate on gays, but there is so much more immorality with sexual promiscuity on TV than the gays could ever bring to television. It's on every single show that you watch, without exception. All right? And so, but it's common practice. It's okay. Do your thing. You don't have to be married to sleep with somebody. You can just do your thing. I got mighty quiet in here. I don't hear too many amens. Now, this is only one thing. You can use drugs. You can form groups that hate other people. Hate speech. Just mean stuff that is so unloving. But relativism says that there's no universal right and wrong. It's what the culture says is right and wrong. Now, this is dangerous because we live in an age where this can be influenced by how much money you have. Come on, I'm asking y'all to think this morning. Think about this. If you have enough money, you can storm the Capitol. We see it on TV. And then you have enough money, you elect somebody, and they can forgive all the people that went into the Capitol and killed people. If you have enough money, you can be a sex trader of small teenagers, and you can get away with it. You just need to be, me and my wife are talking about this, being able to buy a good lawyer. That's all. So, relativism says there is no right or wrong. You do whatever you want. And it's based on a concept that there's no consequence if I can get away with it. Now, you can find support for your ideas on the internet. I don't care how sick it is. I don't care how crazy it is. You can find a support group to support that bad behavior. Amen? It's called the dark web. Your husband knows, I'm sure, about this. You just need a special set of software. You hook into it. And, oh, boy, if you want to be scared, you need to go out there and look at some of the topics that they have. My brother here knows this, too. I mean, it is so twisted and so perverted that it's scary. Okay? You can find somebody that agrees with your viewpoint that I can do whatever I want whenever I want, however I want, and it doesn't matter what God's laws say. I'm doing my thing. And if God doesn't like it, too bad. So there is a universal agreement in America that we are free. We can pull off the rails. We can have no guidelines, no moral compass is what it's called. Our moral compass is so eroded that we can't tell what's right or wrong, or we have things that can influence our thinking to the point. Dan talked about conscious versus subconscious relationships a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you caught that, but he did. He talked about it. And, you know, once something travels from our conscious to our subconscious, it affects our beliefs and our behavior. And it becomes true for us. And we always act in concert to our subconscious. We believe something. Somebody's talked us into thinking that this is the way to go. And we always act in concert to our belief system. It could be anything. It could be hate. It could be alcoholism, getting high, designer drugs. It could be whatever you want. It can be a situation where your mind is so eroded that it's hard to fact check anything. And I tried. Good thing about Gemini, when you ask it certain questions about religious stuff, it'll stop you and say, well, we're not qualified to talk about that area. I thought that was so exciting. I thought, okay, stay in your lane, huh? You know, you don't want to go there, huh? It'll just say, we can't give an accurate opinion about this subject matter area. So try another question. Try another way to look at it. So relativism will stop us from seeing God. It stops us from being transformed by the renewing of our minds into a state where we can align our behavior with God's word. Now, that's where the Lord wants us. He wants us to align ourselves with his word. And we can't do that in a state of that we're regenerated. We're not transformed. We think like Danny was saying the other day, we just think in a way that is not aligned with God. So, what happens? All right, let's look at a couple of scriptures about warnings against relying on human wisdom. Okay, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Despitefully sick, who can understand it? Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the son of disobedience. Now, if there is no universal standard of right and wrong, truth, knowledge, and morality are shaped by cultural norms, not divine authority. And this could vary from where you live, culturally, in a small area, a large area, a whole country, can be shaped by thinking to get you to think a certain way. The dominant culture always is going to want you to behave in ways and values and mores that it says are how you should behave. Now, in most cases, that's contrary to God's word. It says something different than what God says he wants us to do. So concepts of right and wrong are often shaped by influences, individual groups with resources and money. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Listen to that. Write it down. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. All right? Without being transformed, you can't do anything but act in a way that's your dominant behavior, which is to sin. And do whatever you want. And until you have a transferred mind or transformed mind, you're going to behave in a way that untransformed people act, which is stupid. I was so stupid before I was transformed, I believed all kinds of things. I believed in open marriage. I believed in getting high. I believed in going to places and seeing things that I shouldn't go and see. One of the things that got me saved, I went to a nightclub in New York, what are called private clubs at warehouses. And I went in there with one of my best friends, Maude, and we went in there and we were partying. But then I saw something in this place that frightened me. Unrestrained behavior. And it scared me. I saw people doing all kind of stuff that I thought, oh, this is sick, even for me. I mean, I know I'm progressive, but this is twisted. I need to go home. And we did. We left there. But I saw it, and it gave me a visual of what sin was in one place among a group of people that had all said that it's okay to behave this way. And they did. But I, even as an unbeliever, I knew my moral compass said, this is twisted. I need to get out of here. And so I left. Okay? All right. It is one of the driving factors that helped me become a Christian. A person's thought and actions shift to a godly perspective, only after mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you can have a different perspective. You don't have to live your life in a relativistic domain. You can be freed from this. Ephesians 4:23 says that we can be made new in the attitude of our minds. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, you know this one, he's a new creature and is gone. Creature has come. And the old has gone, the new is here. We can become a new creature. We don't have to act in ways or think in ways that are contrary to the will of God if we are renewed. The Bible calls this, since we're talking about foundations, being born again. We have to be born again, not just coming to church. Right? We have to be born again. In other words, our minds need to be transformed. And the only way to do that is to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We accept his birth, death, resurrection, and his offer of salvation to us. Once we accept that, the Bible says we're born again. We're dwelt with the Holy Spirit. And like Dan was talking about last week, we instantly are transformed into a different species. We're not this old person anymore. We're new. So we think differently and we act differently and we're seeking out what God says our behavior should be, how we should think, how we should treat others. And love is at the top of this list. Okay? Love says if there's any other commandment, you put this at the bottom. Love me and love others. Okay? We can't do that if we're not transformed. It's about me. It's not about others. It's about me. What I want, what I need, what I gotta have. is so self-centered and twisted, we're so blinded that we really don't care. And I'm not saying unregenerated people don't do nice things, but the motive for doing them is different than what the Lord would have us do. From a heart that's transformed and a spirit that's transformed. We can only do that once we believe in Christ. Okay? All right, I'm going to move on. If we are to move away from how the world thinks and acts, transformation is essential. Now, I hope all of you in this room are transformed. If not, you can have an opportunity this morning to bow your head and say, Lord, come into my life. Transform me. I don't want to behave. In Genesis 6:9, God says that he was sorry that he made man. Think about that. It says he was sorry that he made man. And that was right before the flood where he destroyed the earth. Moses, what's his name? That's right, him. Noah built the boat, right? Put the animals on the boat. It rained. But that's in Genesis, and it was right. He said he was sorry. Tears almost come to my eyes every time I read that. He said that we were so vile in our behavior. Don't miss this. Anti-God in our behavior, that he said he was sorry that he made his creation. That's hard. But there was mercy there because he did what? He took Noah, put him on the boat. Well, they was out there 40 days, more, 40 days. And then he allowed us to come. And he said he won't ever do it that way again. I'm never going to stop sinning that way now. He has some other ways that he's going to do it later on. You need to listen to some of Danny's lessons on this on our Bible study. I mean, we're clear on what happens later on. If you miss this, you know, people don't like to talk about heaven and hell. People that are not regenerated and transformed are going to hell. We're talking about fundamentals. They're going to hell. They're going to be eternally separated from God and spend their time in a very hot place. I don't want to be there. I don't know about you, but I ain't going there. Okay. So we can avoid that, stepping in that hole, just by accepting Jesus, his gift. Now, whether we're going to talk about something else in a minute that relates to that, but whether you believe that right now or not is okay out there in video land. It's still true. Okay? It is true. It's absolute. Okay. The second superstition, and I only have two. I had three, but Saray said, no. She said, you're going to run out of time. So you need to give the people a break. You don't want them to be held hostage and nothing like that. So I'm only doing two of these, though I had three, okay? I'm doing two. I know you're feeling me on that. So the second superstition is, what was the first one? I just want to make sure y'all paying attention. Okay? The second one is, there are many ways to God. If he exists at all. Now, we live in a world of designer drugs, but we also live in a world of designer gods. The people make up stuff about God that I don't know where. I watch so many geographic programs about different cultures. I'm a student of that. And the stuff they believe, self-flagellation, running over hot coals, laying down and burning back, piercing your skin, from this way, that's the suffering, the more suffering, the better. Okay, they believe this will lead you to a place of somewhere. Now, many non-Christian religions, such as Buddhism, I want you to get to Nirvana, Islam, the five pillars of Islam, Hinduism, and Judaism outline paths to God based on human efforts and rituals. If you follow specific steps, you will get to peace and tranquility. Now, the closest that we have to our religion is the Muslim religion. It's pretty, it says some things, but if you ain't careful, you think, well, this is okay. Okay, you'll say, well, Muslim, why not? But all of these religions believe that you can work your way to heaven. You got to do the five steps of this, the seven steps of that. I see your hand, sorry. Or you take a manual, a book. The Quran was given to the Prophet Muhammad over a 23-year period, sometimes in a cave, sometimes in a dream. He got a lot of different ways. Now, Muhammad is not worshipped by Muslims. Let me make this clear. They have one God concept, and his prophet is Muhammad. Okay? The problem is that this runs up against Christianity. Muslims believe in Abraham and Adam and Moses and Jesus as prophets. They consider Muhammad the last prophet. Okay, he's the last prophet, and he was given to... can I get a tissue from somebody that's... my nose is running. Now, he's considered the last prophet. The final word. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet. Let's be clear on that. They do. They believe Moses was a prophet. They believe Muhammad was a prophet. But they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's where we diverge. That's where we get off of the five pillars of Islam and what I got to do to become a Christian. And then at the end of it, as I studied this, there's no guarantee if I do everything that they told me to do as a Muslim that I'll get to heaven or what they call paradise. Okay? There's no guarantee. I thought, boy, I want to opt out of this. I want a warranty or something. I mean, if I'm going to believe something, give my whole life to it. And then you get at the end of it, it says it depends on the mercy and judgments of God that you did enough. And so at the end of your life, you don't know whether you did enough. Okay? Bad deal. Not a good deal. Okay? We got a better deal in Christ, okay? And so, but it is exclusive. And I want to talk about that story. Say, I'm getting down to 10 minutes now, so I got to go. But people don't like Christianity because it has an exclusive path to God. And that's through Jesus. And Jesus and the New Testament couldn't be more clear on this point. I found so many scripture references to this, I couldn't give you all of them, but one of them is Matthew 7, 13 through 14. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." It says, wide is the way to destruction. There are going to be way more people going to hell than going to heaven. You be clear on that point. It says, wide is the way. and many will enter through it. Okay, that's why a pastor preaches every Sunday. You need to get a relationship with God because our time is running out. It's getting closer to the time when we did our study on the end times. Dan, if you don't, maybe he hasn't recorded, maybe he hasn't listed, but boy, we were all going, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. That doesn't sound good. What about all the Jews? What about all the Muslims? And what about them? It says, but small is the gate and narrow is the way that lead to life, and only a few find it. That's Matthew 7, 13, and 14. Luke 13, 24 says, strive to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be in, added in. The concept of the narrow path highlights that few will find the tree of life or find eternal life. Now, Jesus said, oh, the other thing, two things, and then I'm done. He accepted worship as God. Now the rest of these little religions, non-Christian religion, Kusum, Islam, Muhammad never said he was God and never accepted worship. Let's be clear on that. Jesus said, worship me. Now get that in your head. He considered himself a deity associated with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And that comes clear through the I am statements that are found in the New Testament. They're linked to Exodus 13:3-14, I'm sorry, in the Old Testament, where Moses approaches God and he says, I am who I am, to let him know that I am God. Well, Jesus, the reason that Jesus was killed is because he said, I am who I am. And it just threw the Jews into a hissy fit. They couldn't take it. They said, you're saying a mere man, you're God? He said, yep. And he said it a bunch of times, in a bunch of different ways, okay? In John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 6:35 says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me. Now that takes the Muslims have, the first thing they have to do is state that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. But what he says here is, you need to believe in me, the person born of flesh who died and resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit. You need to believe in me. I am connected with God in a way that you should believe this. Now, this is Jesus talking. This is not what somebody said about him. These are his words. They recorded very carefully. Another one is John 6:48, I am the bread of life. John 6:51 says, I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, he will live forever. He's saying that this transaction that we can make with God, if you take what he has offered and believe in him, you will receive eternal life. That means you will live forever, never be separated from God. At the point at which you do that. Now, think about that different than if you're a Muslim and you die and you don't know. Yeah, maybe I went to Mecca. I did the five things I'm supposed to do, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. This is a guarantee. Okay, so he's giving me 3 minutes. I got 3 minutes. I got you, babe. You okay? Another verse says, I am the door. Now, what's important here is the I am statements with all these verses. Don't get caught up in the door, the gate, the bread, and all that. What I am means is I am God. I am divinity. And he said it a bunch of times so there would be no confusion of his followers of who he was. So, the second one, there is a God. Our Bible says there is a God. The path to which you get to the God that created us is through his son, Jesus. There is no other, I'm going to read you another verse. There is no other way. Acts 4:12 says, Peter says, salvation is found in no one else, for there no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Is this exclusive? Heck yeah. Is it narrow? As narrow as you can get it. He said, you can believe in me, put your faith in me, go with me. I am God. I'm the only living God. Or you're going to go to that other place. You won't be with me. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believed in him should not perish. He doesn't want that. He doesn't. He wants mercy over judgment. Remember that. He's not happy about immorality in the world. Just like God in the Old Testament wasn't happy about it. But everyone that he met that had a relationship with him, whether it was the woman caught in adultery or the woman at the well, he didn't excuse it either. He told them, go and sin no more. Don't keep on doing this. If you believe in me, then adapt to what I want from you, and the Holy Spirit is going to guide you to be a different person. That's the key. I am different than I used to be. No doubt. Ray's known me for, 46 years, babe? 48 years. 48? Long time. Okay. 49, oh my God, I'm really old. But I have changed, and I'm gonna wrap this up. I have changed. I don't believe that I can do whatever I want anymore that violates the laws of God. Now, if I happen to sin, I'm not going to hell. If I happen to break a law or do something that isn't cool with God, God isn't throwing me off the planet or severing my relationship. Dan talked about this last week and the week before. So you already got some studies on this. I don't need to repeat this. Okay? But what we do need to do, if we have friends or family or neighbors or people in our community that don't know this, you need to tell them. We have some Muslim friends that are very close to us, and they talk about, we talk about God all the time, but it's just not the God of Jesus. And they are wonderful people. They love us. They always bringing me food and stuff. I mean, come on. Goat and lamb dishes and all that. They love us, but if I can't reach them, then they're going to be lost. And that hurts me because I love them. And there are people in your life like that, that you love and you want to see to come into a transformed state with God, but you don't know what else to do. So this morning, what I say in conclusion, I encourage you to question superstitions. Identify them in your life and question them. And relativism, where you feel like you can do whatever you want and it may be contrary to God's law, look at what God says. Ask God, the Holy Spirit. Danny talks about this all the time. The closer we get to the Lord, the closer, the more we don't want to do that. We used to do that, but we don't want to do that anymore. That vomit, it tastes like vomit to us. We want to please God. We want to do what's right. We don't always do perfect 100%, but I'm not required to be perfect. Amen? I'm required to be born again. And once I'm born again, he'll take care of all my little imperfections and cracks in my armor and all that. He'll take care of all of that. I don't have to, but I know for sure when I die, it says to be absent from the body, be present from the Lord. It also says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Now, last point. We're all going to be judged. Danny taught us this too. We're going to be judged, two groups of people. One is going to be a judgment for the saved, and another is going to be a judgment for the lost. Okay? All you saved folks, amen. We got rewards coming. But it's still based on what we did. Okay? It isn't just blanket thing. It's how did you live your life in Christ? And so I always say my wife's going to have a mansion. I'm probably going to have a garage. She's a way better Christian than I am. So let's just say that. I'll probably have a garage under her house. But I'm still in. Right? I'm still in there. Now, the judgment for the lost is also going to be based on their works. And they will see punishment and judgment for what they did in an unregenerated state. There's no escaping the judgment. It's just going to be what house you're in. Amen? Like Dan talked, he did. Masterful job talking about the houses being torn down and new occupants. I mean, if you haven't listened to that sermon, you need to listen to it again because it is the bomb. What can I say? All right. And so, in closing, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to God. We need to seek spiritual truths over cultural beliefs and advocate to everybody we know transformation through God's Spirit and Word. When people start talking stupid stuff, you tell them, that's stupid. I don't believe that. Where did you get that from? Does that line up with, and even Christians, they'll say stupid stuff. Where did you get that in the Bible? Some of the songs I listen to ain't nowhere near what the Bible says. Okay? So you need to check it out. Superstition can show up in our religious teachings and practices. That's why I'm his minion. Because he don't be telling me stupid stuff, okay? I can't deal with that. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to pray with you all. I hope I've said something today that rings true to you. Maybe a little uncomfortable, some places, but it's the truth. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for helping us escape the two superstitions that I've talked about this morning, relativism and a lack of belief that you are God and the only path to salvation. It's hard, Lord. We live in a society that, boy, is so clever about wanting us to believe something that isn't true. And we have to be diligent and vigilant about believing things that aren't true, superstitions that aren't true. And so help us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share with my people. These are my folks. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.